Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord.
Sue, we join in prayer. Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. All over the world, from Cuba to China, from Bristol to Brisbane, people are celebrating this simple meal. Well, they're not all doing it in the same way. In the Congo, they had to be careful during the recent outbreak of Ebola. Some people said that communion in churches in that region should be stopped altogether. In order to prevent any further spread. Instead of that, the churches incorporated a hand-washing ceremony. They used disposable cups, a bit like ours, and they carried on with breaking the bread and pouring out the wine. And when the outbreak died down quite quickly, it was attributed to changed behaviour as much as anything. And communion in churches showed a way in which it was possible to change behaviour and still come close to other people. In a group of churches in Indonesia, they share communion round a makeshift shape of a cross using a fixed form of words. They take the bread and wine, much as we do here, but they do so in relays of 20 or 30, because they're quite large congregations, and some of the services can last 3.5 hours. But then, as somebody said who went to one of these, well, the cross shape focuses the mind, and the small groups ensure that people do come close to one another. In some churches in Mexico, the deacons don't serve the bread and wine. The children do. I guess the congregations rejoice and wince at the same time. Children, I guess, are not so careful as deacons. A retired Scottish minister was telling us once how in his home village, communion was celebrated once a year. And in the weeks before, the minister would visit just about everybody in the village to make sure that they were prepared. Holy in his terms, I suppose. No drink, no gambling, that kind of thing. There was a Catholic priest in the group of people listening to his story, someone who celebrated Mass frequently, and he said, "Wow! For them, the bread and wine were so important, they only took it once a year. For us, they are so important, we take it every day." In a church in Haiti, apparently, The servers don't get any of the bread and wine ready before the service. They wait until the preacher begins, and he goes on and on for long enough for them to lay out the bread and wine. Then they serve while everybody sings. There are no books, no service sheets, no projectors. Everything is remembered. And everybody who takes the bread and wine brings a little attendance card, which is ticked afterwards, a bit like a loyalty card in a coffee shop, I suppose. In the States, it had to be, didn't it? You can now buy pre-loaded, sealed plastic cups of grape juice, a bit like those little cartons of milk that you get in cafes. Imagine the reduction in fiddle, Mike. Just load the cartridges into the containers and off you go. Like most things from America, I suppose, like Halloween, it will be making its way over here quite soon. A friend of mine went on a conference with all kinds of people from different church backgrounds, Protestants and Catholics, and every day they worshipped together, and on the last day they held a communion service. Well, actually, they held two communion services, one for the Protestants and one for the Catholics. And my friend went to speak to one of the leaders and said that he had found it somewhat ironic that at a conference all about church unity, people had to divide to take communion. The leader replied, "Well, it is also a symbol of our brokenness and pain." Because what we do here is so important to so many people in such different ways that often it divides as much as it unites. At one time, you wouldn't have been allowed to take bread and wine in a Baptist church unless you were a member of a Baptist church, and in some places, unless you were a member of that particular Baptist church. If you were a visitor, then you had to speak to somebody beforehand to prove that you were a member of a Baptist church somewhere else. It is a sign of brokenness, isn't it? We say it, don't we? Broken bread, poured out wine, in a broken world, in a suffering world. World communion. All over, in churches large and small, inside and outside, on makeshift tables, in front of gorgeous altars, using wafers, squares of bread, loaves, chalices, flagons, plastic cups, small numbers, large numbers. At Greenbelt, some of you may have been to Greenbelt. It began as a kind of Christian version of Woodstock without the nudity. I was there in the 1970s when they broke bread and poured out wine on the main stage in front of some 10,000 people. Then teams of servers came round with small rolls and plastic cups of grape juice while the burger vans continued to sizzle away all around. But still, there was a moment of quiet when the leader stood up on the stage and said, "The body of Christ was broken for us. The blood of Christ was shed for us." World communion. Soon enough, we will take part in our version. I reckon there will be some kind of makeshift communion or mass or some such thing taking place as we speak amongst some of those Central American people making their steady walking way towards the American border. towards whatever awaits them. Guns, maybe. Detention. The politics of fear. It's stalking our world, isn't it? Fear, I mean. Fear of the foreigner, the refugee, the asylum seeker, the people who aren't like us. It is driving policy, spreading suspicion, hate crime, fake news all over in the States, in Brazil, in Europe, India, China, here. The politics of fear. This is the theology of love. Might we call it the politics of love? We can imagine that all over this world communion, this quiet, simple, messy, different kinds and quality of bread, different strengths and constituencies of wine, all over, people stop whatever they're doing, hush their striving for a moment, gather with friends and with strangers, in pain, with their differences, in hope, in a determination to be united, not divided. Can't we imagine this? It is the countercharge to all the hatred and the division and the fear. Because at the center is the Christ who died, bearing all the pain and fear of the world. At the center is bread, filled with all the goodness of the earth and broken in the midst of the world's brokenness and frailty. In the center is wine, rich with the fullness of the earth and poured out like the blood of the world's suffering. And at the center is the kingdom, a sign of the kingdom, broken things made whole, suffering things healed, frail, dying things brought to light and life. By the light of the world, by the good shepherd of the sheep, who knows each one and calls us and loves us and calls us here. So today, instead of remaining seated in our seats, we are going to come forward to the call to receive bread and wine from the deacons who will be standing here at the front of the dais. We're coming not to a border, not to a wall, but to a table. And whatever awaits us here won't be fear or division. Not suspicion, not fake news. It will be love and reconciliation and acceptance and good news. Yes, we are all welcome in this place, but more, we are all welcome at this table. We are all invited to this table. No more than a sign, really, but much more than just a sign. Reality in a moment, if you like. The reality of the endless, accepting, loving, peaceful, healing heart of God in Christ. Come, then go to live and look for unity in the world.